Welcome to the Gospel Minute, part of the teaching ministry of Praise Temple Apostolic Church. In this podcast, we explore various topics pertaining to the Kingdom of God with the ministers of Praise Temple. Today, we'll be hearing from Brother Kevin Cook. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, podcasters. My name is Kevin Cook, and I'm going to be speaking with you all just a little while about justification. We will touch some on sanctification. But there is salvation, and there are many elements in that salvation. There is repentance. Of course, before we even believe, we must believe. And then we must be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And of course, we believe that we receive the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking other tongues. But I wanted to talk for a while and kind of tie this into the teaching of justification by faith. And I'm going to be reading some scriptures here. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I don't know about you, but I'm glad that we can have peace. That means that we can come before the throne of grace boldly, and we don't have to be mealy-mouthed because we have been forgiven. We have right standing with God, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And I'm going to stop here at verse 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." I'm thankful that we can experience his life. And as you know, that when we obey the gospel, we identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you can always tie that in to what Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost. He told them to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, into the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And there's so many people that in the New Testament age and in Christendom, when they go to talking about salvation and justification by faith alone, they totally bypass what happened in the book of Acts as much as if it did not happen. And they had that revival there in the second chapter of Acts. They had 3,000 believers added to the church that all repented. All of them were water baptized into the name of Jesus, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. But talking about justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask this question: how can an unjust person be justified? And the answer to that is by imputation. when John the Baptist saw Christ, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." How did that happen? It happened through the imputation of the sins of all the people being put on the Lord Jesus. The reason for the Lamb was for imputation, or we can actually say impartation. So in the Old Testament, in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, you will find where the Old Testament priest laid his hands on the Lamb. So you may ask yourself, why did that happen? What happened was when the priest, when that high priest laid his hands upon the Lamb, at the time of the atonement, all of the sins of Israel was imputed unto this Lamb that they would let go in the wilderness. Because symbolically, he is transferring the sins of the people to that Lamb. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold the Lamb which taketh away the sins of the world." I'm glad that we have access by faith today, and I'm so glad that we have justification. I want to say, I say this often when I preach about justification, and it is simply this, that what does justify mean? And I've always liked to say it like this. It means that we have been restored to just as if I had never sinned. So we have access, we have peace, we can come before the throne of grace boldly because we have been washed by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is said to bear our sins upon himself, the sins of all the world when he died on Calvary. And this is the language of a quantitative act of transfer. The weight of sin and guilt was taken away from here and moved to there. The Bible says, "God in Christ reconciled the world unto himself." Now, sin is not imputed to God. Sin was imputed unto the mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. You might say, well, he was God. Yes, he was, but he was also 100% man. He was fully God and fully man. But the sins of the world was not transmuted or transferred upon God, but it was transferred or imputed upon the Son, Jesus Christ. The sin was imputed to Christ, and without that, we could not be justified. If we cannot be justified, we cannot pray. If we cannot pray, we cannot rejoice. If we cannot rejoice, we cannot have love. So we should really thank God for the spirit of justification. And I want to go a little further into this. Even though the sin of all the world that partakes in this, and we're going to talk about how do I get it, how do I enter into this covenant? How do I get the fruit of all the justification and sanctification? We get it by entering into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. Innocence by itself will not get you to heaven. You got to have righteousness. And of course, it's thrown around a lot that our self-righteousness is as filthy rags and will not do us one ounce of good. And we all agree with that. But when we have been imbued with the power of the Holy Spirit, and when we have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we are being led by the Spirit of God, which is synonymous with the Spirit of Christ, we are more than made innocent. Listen to Romans 5 and 10. It says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of the Son, being much more reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. And another spin-off word of that word, atonement, could be at-one-ment, because that's what happens when we enter into this marvelous contract, this marvelous, we get the good end of this deal. It was a deal that was made, and listen, we bring nothing to this table. There's nothing that we can bargain with. We have no chips. We have no goodness. We have nothing to give God other than our lost and broken lives. So he came to the table with eternal life. He came to the table with joy. He came to the table with empowerment. And he says, let me do this for you. So when we do receive the atonement, seeing that the event happened over 2,000 years ago, when we believe and repent and are converted by obedience to the death, the burial, and the resurrection, what happens is we are made innocent. Verse 12, I'm going to read that. It says, wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For until the law, sin was in all men, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the law of Moses. This is really a large Bible study that entails many different elements of salvation. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him to come. So Adam was actually the first Adam. Christ is the second Adam. So as a matter of fact, when you read in the New Testament, you will find statements that says, for example, all who are under or in Adam, and then it will be contrasted by all who are in Christ. All who are in Adam are unredeemed. They are presently unbelievers. They are presently in the world, not being led by the Spirit of God. But in Christ, we have received the fulfillment of obeying the Scripture. We receive the Holy Ghost. We are being led by the Spirit. And we are in Christ. Jesus Christ is the total fulfillment of the Mosaic law. Verse 15 says this, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, the gift of God, the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And that's what justification by faith does for us. It gives us an entrance. It gives us an audience with the Savior. But when all of this is said and done, when all of the sins of all of mankind have been transferred to that body of Jesus Christ, as he died on the cross, that he who knew no sin actually became sin, because all of the sin of the world, past, present, and future, was transferred upon Jesus Christ. He paid the price. He suffered the wrath of God for all of our sin, but this merely makes us innocent, but maybe not all the way justified. If Jesus took all the sins and was punished for then, that does still not make us justified. So the other part of that beautiful blessing is that we not only have been justified, we have not only been made righteous, but the righteousness of Christ was imputed to us at the same time. That allows us to be able to enter in with faith. That allows us to have peace in our lives. It's a double transference. Sin was imputed to Christ. Righteousness was imparted to us. And that's what can get us to heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to make heaven my home. We ought to be able to come to the house of God, and we have been set free from not only from sin, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, but we have been made clean, and more importantly, we have been made righteous, not by the righteousness of our own works, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That makes us to be able to be saved. And I'm going to read a few scriptures here in the book of Ephesians. In verse 2 and 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So there's a contrast between the present. We now have access by faith unto Christ, that we are no more aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But the Bible says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Oh, how we can worship God now, because we are not worshiping him out of the strength of our own reason, or out of the strength of our own life or body, or out of the strength of our own fruit that we produce by ourselves, because it is produced by faith. It is by faith. And I wanted to bring water baptism in Jesus' name into this. I want to tie it to justification by faith, because when we go down into the name of Jesus, the Bible says that we are baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of our sins. And I don't have real long to get into us. Maybe we can get into a series of teaching like this, maybe in the near future, where we get into it a little bit more, or a lot more, and we'll see how it goes. But it's not the water that saves us. It's not even the obedience of that saves us, but it's that name of Jesus Christ that comes over us, and we are cleansed from our sins. Doesn't that sound like justified by faith to you? It does to me. And a lot of people don't want to mention water baptism in the same breath or the same teaching as justification by faith. But when I understood that it wasn't the water that washed away the sins, but it was the whole act of obedient faith, of obeying God coming in through the covenant of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we have that. We repent. That is a type of death. And then we are water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That is a picture and type, and it goes along with being identified into the death of Jesus Christ. And then we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by evidence of speaking in other tongues. And someone said Apostle Paul did not believe in Acts 2:38, but he most certainly did. But I want to bring up this one point on water baptism, and it is in the book of Acts, the 22nd chapter. The Apostle Paul is giving an account of his conversion and his trip to Ananias, and he was blind when he came unto Ananias, and Ananias began to speak to him, and he said that you are a chosen vessel, that that God has picked you with a special message. And for thou shalt be his witness unto all men what thou hast seen and heard. For thou shalt be his witness unto men of what thou hast seen and heard. Verse 16, listen to this. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. So water baptism is a very important factor when it comes to understanding and being involved in being justified by faith. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So this was the testimony of the Apostle Paul, and he spoke of this. I'm glad that he wrote this here concerning water baptism in the name of the Lord, because it lets us to know that he preached the same message. He believed in the same message as that Apostle Peter. And I'm going to finish up by reading some more scriptures here. I'm going to be reading in Romans 5 and 19. It says, for is by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so that by obedience of one shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'm just terribly glad. And this should put gladness in our hearts, and this should put gladness and joy in our bones, that we can come to the altar with peace in our heart through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to wait through and go through all of our imperfections. Of course, we live in repentance. We try to stay clean. But knowing that we don't have the dead man bones in our closet carrying us around or dragging us down, because we have been justified by faith through grace, and it empowers us to worship him in the Spirit. Well, that's all I have for you right now. Thank you very much. Everyone have a good afternoon, and we'll talk to you the next time. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Gospel Minute. If you enjoyed this podcast, take a minute to leave us a review and subscribe to be notified when we post a new episode. You can also follow us on our Facebook page, Praise Temple Apostolic Church. If you would like to join us in service, we are located at 725 West Knoll Avenue, Madisonville, Kentucky. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. God bless.